Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, whipped her false lover, Jesse Thorne gets a lashing in a Jersey City street, says the New York Times. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Special guest on the program this week, Jasper Redd, comedian Jasper Redd. Welcome to the show, Jasper.
Hey, thanks for having me, y'all.
No, it's a pleasure to have you, sir. What was this flower pot situation going on outside of my door?
Oh, yeah, man. Before you buzzed me in and got into the lobby, this guy on the street comes up to the gate and he's like, "Hey, buddy." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "This flower pot keeps getting closer and closer to the street."
How... On a scale of 1 to 10, how gross and homeless was this guy?
Nah, dude looked like he had money. You know, he was clean. Yeah. You know, he looked good.
He said, hey, this flower pot.
Gentleman, but...
He got into his Bentley and...
He was, like, he's been watching this flower pot for a minute.
Was this guy... Do you think this guy lived in the building? Was he, like, a middle-aged Korean guy?
Nah, he was a white dude. You know, gray hair. Mm. Like I said.
Gray-haired white guy probably doesn't live in this building. Mostly middle-aged Korean guys.
And it's like he finally caught somebody. It's like
standing by the flower pot.
And he had to tell, you know. And I said, "Man, I don't even live here." But he was like, "Man, it's crazy."
It is crazy because you know what? Flower pots don't just move themselves.
It's true. Usually, someone has to do it.
Yeah, it's probably Jasper.
Yeah, man.
I suspect Jasper.
It's a conspiracy.
He's wearing a track jacket, probably so he can keep warm. The flower pot moving.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm saying. Oh, by the way, introduction of this week's program. We've actually gone on location to a sawmill.
So, that's good.
Is the sawmill something that existed in other places besides the Bay Area? Jasper, you lived in the Bay Area for a while, but you didn't grow up there. You're from Tennessee or something like that.
Yeah, man. I don't know too much about sawmills.
Okay, Jordan, do they have the sawmill in Orange County?
They do, but it's a place that has Margarita Monday.
Oh, in the Bay Area, it's a place where you buy unfinished furniture, I think.
Hmm.
And the song goes, "You need it, we got it, oh, at the sawmill."
Oh, that's tight.
Nice.
I know, it's a good tune. It's a good record. Yeah, it was number 14 R&B in 1987. I never cracked the pop chart, though.
Underground hit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not here to sing songs that everyone knows. You know, I'm like, this is like an educational mission for me. I want to bring great music to people.
If you guys
know?
Want to hear Britney Spears, tune into another podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
But if you want to hear local jingles from the 80s.
Yeah, underground jingles.
Absolutely. The real shit. Real shit. Sure. Not uncut. You know what I'm saying?
If you want an 80s local jingle mixtape, send a self-addressed stamped envelope.
KOFY TV 20 Stereo.
KNX 1070 News Radio.
You got anything, Jasper?
Got any local jingles? What about Tennessee? Do they have any good local jingles?
No.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry, man.
No,
Jasper,
okay.
You're off the show.
The jingle movement didn't hit Tennessee.
they haven't yet found music.
Yeah, man.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us, comedian Jasper Redd. At any point, if you feel like making up a nickname for yourself, I know sometimes you've been known to refer to yourself as Jasper T. Redbone.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay, well, you're going to have to chime in and drop that after Jordan says his nickname. It just so happens, Jordan.
Yes.
That yesterday, last night, when I was supposed to be working, but I didn't want to be working because it was nighttime, I was sitting at my computer, and I was like, you know, sure, I have a Google News alert that tells me whenever anyone writes anything about Jesse Thorne. But what about Jesse Thorne with an E at the end? So I thought, maybe people are saying terrible things about me and they're misspelling my name, perhaps out of spite, and I would never know if I didn't do a Google search for Jesse Thorne with an E at the end.
Okay. No, this is
entirely reasonable.
Did you stop working to set this up, or do you consider this part of work?
I consider this part of the many, many things that I do to occupy myself while I'm actively not working.
Fair enough.
Like when I really should have been researching an interview that I have to do later on today, but I decided that a equally useful use of my time was to Google my name misspelled. But as it happens,
it's almost like masturbating, man.
Yeah, well, I would never dream of doing that. So when I at night when I'm on the internet by myself.
Checking yourself out.
Like, well, I could masturbate to these millions and millions of units of pornography, or I could set up a different Google alert for myself.
Anyway. Okay, now, I searched for Jesse Thorne with an E at the end, and I learned some interesting things. I added, as a Facebook friend, a guy whose name is Jesse Thorne with an E at the end, who lives here in Los Angeles.
Wow. Does he seem cool? What is he into?
He kind of creeped. His picture kind of creeped me out. Well, you can't look at his profile until you're friends with him.
Oh.
So I add him as a friend, and I'm hoping he's going to approve me.
Okay.
I said, hey, Jesse Thorne with an E. I'm Jesse Thorne without an E. And I hope that was enough to convince him.
Wait, what was his picture? What was he doing?
He was like a black and white. It was like a publicity shot for his solo album after he left Nickelback.
Gotcha.
But he was younger. I mean, he was like our age. He was, you know, mid to late 20s. He wasn't like mid to late 30s. But it was like a black and white full body shot where he was like staring into the future.
Nice.
That was his Facebook page.
Denim vest?
I don't recall if there was a denim vest, but yes, there was a denim vest.
If not actually, he had a kind of a spiritual denim vest on.
Yeah, exactly. And it had a spiritual Indian eagle on it.
Oh.
That's an Indian and an eagle.
Gotcha.
Okay, so when I searched my name, this is what I found. I see this headline. You know how Google has like a headline on the thing when you search for it that said, whipped her false lover.
Whipped.
And then I'm like, well, whipped her false lover, huh? And I looked at it, and it's NewYorkTimes.com. So I'm like, oh,
wow,
I'm in for this. Absolutely 100%. So I click on it.
Wait, okay, so if the headline was whipped her false lover, and it would, like, what website would you not have clicked on it if it was a part of?
Well, I don't want to see Jesse Thorne themed pornography.
How come?
That's just weird.
Okay.
How you know?
Okay, I guess I don't know. Jasper, you're the expert on Jesse Thorne themed pornography, apparently.
So if you really want to blow Son of Young America, oh, you may want to look into that, man.
I've heard that that's what did it for your Paris Hiltons.
Yeah, sure. People like their celebrities, but they also want to have accompanying pornography.
Okay, well.
You need a sex tape, Jesse.
I'll look into it. It might have to. I don't think Teresa would go for it, so I think it might have to be a solo tape.
At least post.
There's
some,
nothing that impressive about that, trust me.
At least post some arty nude pictures of yourself on your blog.
Oh, okay, good.
Kind of Diablo Cody style. Do that.
You know, once, like 4 years ago, I posted something about Brendan Small appearing nude in Playgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, I get a very steady trickle of traffic looking for small nudes.
Small nudes.
Yeah, why would you want a small one rather than a big one? Like, that's what I want to know. Why are these people searching? Do they have a fetish for small scale pornography?
Maybe it's just the size of the nude photo. Like, you don't
want to
monopolize
one?
Your whole browser with your nude.
The moderate.
Know. You want to be able to have an Excel.
Moderate porn.
These people are still on dial-up, and that's what's going on. They can't spare the bandwidth for expansive pornography. Mm-hmm. So I clicked on the link on NewYorkTimes.com.
Just while we're on the subject of nude photos, you know, a few months ago we did that thing where people where I took the underwear picture of myself.
Yes.
And people added clothes to it. Jasper, we did this thing recently where I was talking about maybe wanting to get a new wardrobe. So we took a picture of me in my underwear and people dressed it up digitally.
Like a paper doll, like a digital paper doll.
Nice.
How they would like to see Jordan dressed.
Well, that initial photo of me in my underwear is the first thing that comes up when you search me on the internet. It's been mentioned to me a few times at work.
Do we need to take it down?
That's what I'm talking about.
I can't decide if that's good or bad for my career. Honestly, I think...
Nah, but that just proves it. Skin wins, man.
Yeah, right. I am getting a lot more jobs on Showtime, late night Showtime shows.
You know, actually, the reason Jasper recently was mid-90s. Selected to host the American Eagle College Comedy Challenge was because of a few nudes, a few tasteful nudes that he had put up on his website.
Nice.
And then they posted some of their clothes on me as they do you.
Oh, good.
Exactly. Hey, that was exactly the idea.
We got our face.
Wait, you were okay. Wait. So what was this thing? The American Eagle College Comedy Sensation?
the American Eagle Comedy Campus Challenge.
There's a great video. If you search for, like, recently, I was like, I wonder if there's any good clips of Jasper Redd doing stand up on YouTube. So I type Jasper Redd into YouTube, and the number one thing that comes up is this great thing that just says Jasper Redd, and I'm like, oh shit, that's going to be Jasper Redd doing comedy. But it's actually Jasper being as enthusiastic as I've ever seen him be about anything, about wearing his American Eagle clothes like making gestures and talking about the American Eagle Comedy Challenge.
Hey, free clothes make you happy, man.
Wait, okay, so how did you feel about American Eagle? This is the shop in the mall. It's kind of like Abercrombie
exactly. So it's like the second-rate Abercrombie.
But like not as overtly sexual.
Right.
Anyways, well, yeah, did you have an opinion about American Eagle before you went into this?
Oh, I love them. That's my opinion.
Nice. Okay.
Mad shout out to American Eagle Outfitters.
Did you really get one time when I was like 10 years old, this lady at my church came up to my dad and she's like, yeah, I work for Levi's and we're looking for like kids to just be in pictures for our annual report or something like that. And we were wondering if like Jesse seems like a cool kid. Would he do it? And like my family at the time was kind of, or my dad particularly at the time was kind of on the low end of the income scale. So this was big news to us. So I went and did these, and then I got to like pick out a bunch of clothes like from the pile of like samples and shit at Levi's World Headquarters.
Uh-huh.
Was it like I got a lot of those t-shirts that said 501s, button your fly? Was this that kind of situation? Like, did they take you to the inner sanctum of American Eagle and just let you take whatever you wanted?
Before the tour started, we had to all get outfitted, you know, me and the other comedians on the tour. So, yeah, it was in Santa Monica. And, yeah, it was like, you know, those Tours of Us sprees that back in the day.
Right, so the American Eagle Nickelodeon clothes. Toy grab.
So you just run around just grabbing stuff and...
Did you get a bunch of...
American Eagle dreams, huh?
Did you get a bunch of fake ironic t-shirts like... Chow's Noodle House.
Nah, nothing's ironic at American Eagle.
Oh, really?
All very sincere.
I had a girlfriend once that worked at an American Eagle, and I guess while she was working there, the big thing was those fake ironic t-shirts.
Like, oh, really?
That was the worst. That was literally the worst thing that's ever happened.
Like, you know,
fake ironic
Joe's Crab
t-shirts.
Shack. Get crabs at our shack. You know, it was like some cute slope for a thing that didn't exist. Whatever.
Oh, God. Barf on me.
So they're a little classier now, though, American Eagle.
Man, as far as I've known, yes.
Jasper, are you now? Here's the question: Are you working to get an engagement to host the second annual American Eagle College Comedy Competition? Because I'm looking at you right now. You're wearing like a track jacket. You're wearing what looks like a cotton poly blend vintage 70s shirt. You've got on like a Prince of Wales check tweed hat. None of these things scream American Eagle aesthetic to me.
Well, I'm trying to introduce a new line.
Oh, God. So that's good. So you're doubly valuable to the American Eagle Corporation.
Man, you know, to be the face, you got to have some ideas behind it. You
know? No, I understand completely.
What colleges did you have to go to?
Oh, I went to, you know, a lot of the big schools, man. Went to Michigan, went to University of Washington, Washington State, Virginia Tech, Marquette, Kent State.
These sound like some very American Eagle oriented universities to me.
Yeah, these are all schools that have, you know, American Eagle in the town. So, yeah, it just went.
What did a lot of the college kids? Did you get a lot of invitations to party after the show?
Sometimes we did, man, but we was on such a tight schedule that tour, man, that as soon as the show was over with, you know, we had a breakdown. The production crew did, and
there was a production crew?
Yeah, everything was filmed.
Was there fireworks?
nah, but it was filmed. It was, and they never, I don't know why they never aired the footage, because, I mean, they filmed the whole tour, man. You know, the behind the scenes of me and the comedians just, you know, trying to put their product out there and promote the shows.
And then they just never did anything with it?
Yeah, man, it was great footage.
It's not even on the American Eagle website or something?
Yeah, man. I mean, and it was during winter, man, so it's a lot of snow.
You would think they would want to make use of all that good snow footage.
Yeah, man, because I was definitely bundled up in my American Eagle.
Snow's beautiful, too, on film.
Man, they shoot.
They could have made an all-comedy version of Fargo.
Sure.
You know, with the film and Jasper all bundled up. This could have been like the next Bergman type thing.
Yeah, man. You want to sell some coats? Yeah, show that. Show me in the snow.
Can I talk about what I found on the New York Times website now?
Yeah, sure. Okay, you've set up this alternate Google alert for yourself. Thorn with an E, whipped her false lover comes
Jordan, up. I did not set up an alert. You are taking this way too far. I searched one time just to fill in the holes.
Okay.
Just so I would know what I miss with my regular Google alerts.
I'm sorry I made you sound like an egomaniacal geek.
Man, we all do that shit.
Okay. So what I got was I clicked through to the New York Times website, and it just said PDF of this article is available. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So I clicked on the PDF of the article. This is the article. The date is in 1887. I'm just going to read the article. It's a pretty short article. The headline in all caps with a period at the end is "Whipped Her False Lover." The subheadline is "Jesse Thorne Gets a Lashing in a Jersey City Street." Okay, Mary Ellingsworth, a 19-year-old blonde of 104 and a half Storm Avenue, Jersey City, figures in a horsewhipping incident. She came from Glasgow 2 years ago and sought her aunt in Brooklyn, but learned from a Long Island Railroad brakeman that she had gone west. Miss Ellingsworth found employment as a saleswoman in New York and took board at the residence of Miss Dara on Storm Avenue. She became acquainted with Jesse Thorne. Now, this is Jesse Thorne with an E. I don't want people to think that this is literally me, Jesse Thorne. This is Jesse Thorne with an E. And they finally became engaged. The wedding was fixed for next Sunday. Last Saturday night, Thorne met his sweetheart and asked that the engagement be broken. He had no money to support a wife, he said. There was a flood of tears, but the girl finally consented, and Thorne went away happy. Okay, second paragraph. The New York Times,
Oh, my God.
This is a historical article from the New York Times.
It seems like newspaper writing has changed a lot. Yes. It seems like it's just recounting the thing beat for beat.
This really, you know what this reads like? This reads like nothing more than just an elementary school newspaper with more hyphens in it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Storm Avenue, which for some reason has a hyphen, and New York, which has a hyphen. I don't know why that is hyphenated. Okay.
New York, capital G.
Exactly. Okay, Sunday night when Miss Dara and Miss Ellingsworth were returning from church.
This is positively ribald, I just know. Want to say.
They saw Thorne walking down Bergen Avenue with a young lady on his arm.
Ooh.
They saw him kiss her at the gate and heard him promise to meet her Tuesday evening.
Wow.
The plot is thickening, gentlemen. The plot is thickening.
Back in that day, to kiss someone and then promise to meet them Tuesday in public was just basically public sex.
Exactly. Anal sex, specifically.
Public anal sex.
On Tuesday evening, Miss Ellingsworth armed herself with a rawhide, repaired to the trysting place of the two lovers, and presently saw her released suitor walking up the street. She met him halfway and, drawing the rawhide from under her cloak, laid it vigorously about him.
Oh, man! Nothing's better than this.
He fled with her in pursuit, but finally managed to elude her.
What? Why was this in the newspaper?
Well, I think we're about to learn why this was in the newspaper. Third paragraph. The affair has caused considerable gossip on the Heights. Miss Ellingsworth says she would not have cared for the breaking of the engagement if her consent had not been obtained by false pretenses. She had ordered her wedding outfit, and that made her feel a great deal worse.
My God.
Man, that
is fantastic.
Isn't that unfucking believable?
That is really good.
That is what Jesse Thorns were doing in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They were dumping their fiancés to go on a date. They say they're dumping their fiancés because they're not in a financial position to be married. Actually, they just want to go on a date. But if you ask me, Miss Ellingsworth's going to catch them and lay about them with a rawhide.
Who went that motorcycle?
Yeah, what was that motorcycle all about? Yeah, holy mackerel.
Oh, man. that was fantastic. That's just basically as funny in old time as you can hope for a thing to be.
Holy shit, right?
Yeah, to Google search your name and have that pop
can
up.
Can you imagine if you searched for Jasper Red spelled R-E-D instead of R-E-D-D? And it turned out that in the 19th century, there was a Jasper Red who was laid about with a rawhide.
I may have to change that to my introduction, though.
Yeah. our next comic coming to this stage in the 19th century.
You may have
century.
Seen him on Comedy Central or in the 19th century.
Being laid about with a rawhide by Miss Ellingsworth.
Like, oh, I remember that.
She had ordered her wedding outfit, and that made her a great deal worse. Put your hands together. Oh, man. I wish I was alive in the 19th century.
Sounds really great.
Yeah, there was a lot of poop on the street,
mm-hmm.
garbage. So there was people who went around collecting metal.
Anything could be in the newspaper.
Yeah, boy. Anything could be in, not just any newspaper. The New York Times, the Gray Lady.
Mm.
Do you think this was on the page called Gossip in the Heights?
It's probably under elections.
Holy mackerel. Do you think she was able to find a new beau?
You know what? I think Miss Ellingsworth's going to be okay. I don't think we have to worry about her.
Wow.
You know, also what's funny about that is that the rawhide beating was premeditated. Like, it wasn't just an in-the-moment thing.
Yeah.
Like, she sees him with the guy. She happens to be holding a rawhide, but she planned it out. It's like, well, I'll go there, and then I will beat him with this, which is...
I wonder if Miss Dara didn't have any, like, advice for Miss Ellingsworth. Because I would think that the boarding house woman would be like, hey, now, don't lay about this gentleman with a rawhide.
Well, she was
may be sent back to Edinburgh.
And she was, you know, like, you know, she's just a 19-year-old transplant.
No, she's
New
only
York.
Been in the United States for 2 years.
I'm sure it wasn't even her. She probably had to get the rawhide from someone.
Yeah.
I bet it was actually Miss Dara's rawhide. She seems like an instigator to me.
I bet there was a lot of rawhides around Jersey City at the time.
Yeah.
I think Jersey City was rawhide country back then.
Like maybe she got a promotional rawhide from somewhere.
Yeah, like they give them out like for certs, you know? The only rawhide with Rhett's in.
Wrigley's Spearmint.
Yeah.
The rawhide jingles.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Sure, you know what we're talking about, Jasper.
Yeah, dude.
When it comes to rawhides, the 19th century, what Jersey City.
If any of us were musical, we should probably make up the local rawhide salesman jingle, but we're not.
But we're not going to. Yeah, I think we will. I think we should. How does it go?
Remix.
Jersey City rawhide.
For all your rawhide needs.
Laid about with a rawhide. In the city streets.
Cannon.
Jasper seems to believe that this song is going on our mixtape, which is hosted by celebrity DJ Don Cannon. Cannon.
It probably will.
Hide. Cannon.
I'd rather have it. I don't want to offend Jasper, but I'd rather have it hosted by Kid Capri if we could, because I'd like to get some sirens and the Kid Capri.
You gotta get Kid Capri if you can have.
Because he's the best at yelling. When it comes down to yelling, which is what you're looking for in a great mixtape host, you're looking for somebody to yell different stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. You know exactly what we're talking about.
It's sort of like with Real Big Fish, how they play horns.
Yes.
In their songs.
Aware of that.
It's sort of like that, only for rap mixtapes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Thank you for bringing up that parallel analogy that I could understand.
No problem. I just wanted to bring it into your wheelhouse,
you.
Jordan. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go, I'm Jesse.
Jordan.
With us, Jasper T. Redbone here. The sponsor of Jordan Jesse Go is iwanttoseethat.com. Jordan, people keep asking me to be their friend on iwanttoseethat.com.
Not getting any.
No, they're not going to become my friend, and I'll tell you why, because that is not the purpose of iwanttoseethat.com. Sure, that might be the purpose of Friendster. I know that all our listeners are on Friendster. They're trying to get as many friends as they can. That's not what iwanttoseethat.com is about. This is what it is. You make your real friends that are really your friends in real life, your friends on iwanttoseethat.com. These are people you may work with, people you may know from the gym, people that you actually might like to enjoy seeing socially. You tell iwanttoseethat.com what movies you want to go see. They tell iwanttoseethat.com what movies they want to go see. And then it basically sets you up on friendship dates.
To go see films, specifically.
Specifically.
It won't plan a restaurant for you guys to go to, or a ball game or anything like that.
Exactly.
Movies specifically.
And then when you go see the movie, you can tell iwanttoseethat.com what you thought of the movie. Then your friends can see what you thought of the movie. You can see what other people thought of the movie. When you're trying to decide what movies you want to go see.
I want to be clear. Jesse's concerned with the functionality of this website. But I just want to say I'm fine with friend collecting. On this, I just basically want to have the most I want to see that friends, and it sounds like Jesse is way ahead. So hey, if you live in North Carolina, don't worry about it. I just want to appear more popular than him.
Jordan is willing to fly to movies.
Yes, I will fly out to Butte, Montana, to see Rambo with you.
Jordan has not only has he clicked.
I
that
cannot
he wants
find
to
anyone
see
to go see Rambo with.
Every movie on iwanttoseethat.com, he is actually willing to travel
to see.
Anything. Actually,
whatever.
Weren't you recently in North Carolina to see Meet the Spartans?
Yeah. Whatever. I will go to Bismarck to see Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins.
Yeah, exactly. He's excited to see.
I will go to Peoria to see Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah, absolutely. You've actually been, and what's really amazing is you already went to Peoria once to see Spiderwick Chronicles. You're willing to go back
to
see it again.
Spiderwick Chronicles, yes. I had a lovely time in Beaumont, Texas, seeing the Hottie and the Naughty. Well worth the $800 plane ticket.
Wow.
And then $10 movie ticket.
Okay, so the answer is look for Jordan on there, not for me.
Yeah.
But
I want him. Give him.
But
give him friends.
Sure, you can add Jordan on the website, but why don't you actually add your real life friends as well, and then you can all actually decide whether or not what movies you want to go see. And that way, you'll never have that situation come up where you say, I went to go see The Hottie and the Naughty in Beaumont, Texas recently, and your friend who lives in Beaumont, Texas is like, I wanted to see The Hottie and the Naughty, and I live in Beaumont, Texas. Why didn't you call me? I want to see that.com, the sponsor of Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I am Jasper T. Redbone.
There we go. This is working great. Mm-hmm. I feel like the more we do this, the more we have guests in here, the quicker they get on board. I mean, when we last week when we had Kevin Pereira on, he was right there with Sprinkles.
It bodes well for our little program.
You know what, Jordan? Speaking of that, I got a chance to go back on Sprinkles' show recently, and I think I told them
AG4's Attack of the Show.
AG4 TV's Attack of the Show. I told them, you know, because actually the studio is basically just down the street from my house. I mean, it's like a mile away, a really easy drive. So I said, you know, if you're having trouble finding a guest to talk about something, just give me a call and I'll just drive over and be on TV. It's fine with me.
Sure.
So I'm thinking we had a request on the forum that the next time I'm on G4, I address Kevin as Sprinkles. And I think that's absolutely within my means.
Yeah.
If I'm invited back on the show, you know, which I can't say for certain that I will be.
Did you do a good job?
I tried to do a good job, but I don't know, you know, what really constitutes a good job? Was I wearing a necktie? Yes. Did I have an attractive pocket square? Yes.
Did I do a good job? No.
Hard to
Absolutely
say.
Absolutely not.
Hard to say, you know. I mean, it was, you know, as usual, you know, I don't know what's going on in the world around me. You know what I mean? And the part of this job is to, like, comment on what's going on in the world around me.
Were there any questions about Coco? There
weren't any questions about Coco or New Bunny Day. Speaking of which, guess what today is? It's New Bunny Day! Now, Jasper, just to bring you in on New Bunny Day, for the past few years...
Jasper, you don't have to listen. You can just tune out if you want to.
I didn't hear about Bunny Day.
As a Christmas gift, Teresa has purchased me each year a bunny calendar. Now, what that means is every month,
First
of the month,
Jesse,
we have a little ceremony, and I, where I close and cover my eyes, and then Teresa turns
Jasper,
the page
do you want to talk about something
to
else?
Show the new bunny, and then I open my eyes and I see a new bunny every month. This happens
Jasper,
every month
so
on the first of the month.
The items at fast food restaurants are getting weirder and weirder.
Anyway, this month's new bunny was actually two bunnies. It was two different bunnies, but they're both kind of like golden colored, and they were real
Jesse,
hoppers.
Terrible.
They're to kind of go like...
Jesse, this
all
is
around.
Really terrible. We should stop doing
anyway,
this.
Anyway, so...
I'll quit. I will quit if you keep this up.
Point is, it's New Bunny
Jesse.
Day, and it's a really exciting time. So I'm really happy to have you here, Jasper,
God.
Today, because it's so rare that we
you
actually
so
tape
bad.
On New Bunny Day. So anyway, there was some discussion on the forums about me calling Kevin Pereira Sprinkles. I'm on board with this plan 100%. Absolutely 100%. I might say... Well, Sprinkles, it's blah, 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 something, something, something explaining a nerd phenomenon in the news.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
You'll just say Sprinkles nonchalantly.
Just weave it in there.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And then most people are going to be like, I don't know what that was all about.
No, most people listen to this podcast, though.
Oh, that's true. No, that's a good point. It's like, you know, like the Today Show. You know, most people have seen it.
Yeah, they just have it on in the background a lot of times,
They know
too,
what the deal is with, like, your Katie Couric's or whatever. Oh, God. Well, let's talk about television, Jordan.
Yeah, television.
I want to talk about television. We've both been doing all this television shit lately.
Sure.
Jasper's been pitching Comedy Central some show ideas.
Yeah, your loss, Comedy Central. Your loss.
Comedy Central's going to have to take the L. Apparently, they did not like Jasper's show idea. You can always pitch the Comedy Network in Canada.
Yeah, man, with the money right, why not?
Yeah, it is in Canada, by the way.
Do you think you would play well in Canada?
I don't know, man, but you know, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, he's willing to travel to the T-Dot if he has to.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Vancouver. I'm sure
as
Jasper...
long as they pony up the loonies. That's their money.
Oh, Jordan, have you taken any TV meetings?
Here's the thing. I mean, I guess I've lived in L.A. for... you know, 3 or 4 years now. And I've, you know, I've had a few TV meetings. Jasper, I sympathize. None of mine have gone well. but always it comes up. And always the question is asked in these TV. And I had one recently. And always the question comes up. So, like, so what are you watching? What are you into? Like, what excites you on TV? And, you know, honestly, I, you know, if I was to give an honest answer to this, it would be, well, I don't have cable in my house, but I do watch at least one episode of Futurama a day. And sometimes I like to watch Mystery Science Theater episodes that people have uploaded to the internet. And sometimes Frontline. so we don't have cable. It's been a long time since I've had
one of those. I want to have one of those meetings and just be like, oh god, I have really been loving the Roadshow lately. Antiques Roadshow, that's my number one.
Right.
Those two twin guys that appraise the furniture. Holy shit.
You know what? I'm call me crazy, but I think the future of television is Simpsons reruns. It's another thing that's in my wheelhouse to talk about.
Do these people watch the TV shows and get excited about them?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, they're looking for me to say, you know...
Jackass?
Yeah, you know, Heroes, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Battlestar Galactica. Like, you know, I think they just assume because of the kind of guy that I am that...
Just like nerd shit?
Like, yeah, yes. Like, been watching Lost this season? no. So I don't know. I mean, I've played it off a couple of different ways. You know, I've tried to fake it a few times. Definitely tried to, like, you know, I've seen, you know, 7 episodes of Lost in my life. Trying, like, you know, God, that mystery just keeps getting weirder and weirder, right? You know.
It is quite a mystery.
Yeah, no, I've never seen. I tried to watch one episode of Heroes and fell asleep in the middle.
Sometimes I want to watch the TV shows that they film on my block.
Yeah,
which would be The Unit, CSI New York, and Heroes.
Yeah,
those shows are always on my block. I just kind of want to see my block on TV.
It's probably fun.
Do you think that would work at one of these meetings? Just throwing it out there as a possibility. Is your block ever on TV?
Yeah, my block's been on TV a few times.
Well, there you go.
I forget what shows. Anyways.
You know what would be a good answer to these people? Nash Bridges.
Yeah.
Because who fucking doesn't like Nash Bridges? You know what I mean? You got Nash. You got
Cheech.
You got that sweet car. Really cool car. Cool Mustang.
And then there's Cheech.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I mean, and maybe I'm thinking like it's... Maybe it's better for my career if I just pony up the... I mean, how much is it a month to get a nice cable package?
50.
50 bucks?
You say 50? Mm-hmm. Does that sound right, Jasper?
Yeah, man.
You got that cable?
I do got the cable.
How do you like it?
It's lovely.
How much does it cost?
Well, me and my roommate split it. So,
oh, see. Jasper,
you have some sort of DirecTV TiVo situation?
Nah. But we got the Time Warner On Demand.
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. If I got cable, I would want to have, like, that heavy-duty-ass cable.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I mean, I guess I could afford it, but I don't know that I would ever watch it. Really, basically, all I want to watch
is Futurama.
And then play some video games and go to bed. Like, oh. That's and this time I was... And this time I went the... did I, like, accidentally hit my answering machine?
I don't know. Something bizarre is...
Oh, yeah, I should lock the keys on my phone.
Yeah, Jordan. Jeez Louise. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I feel like a real J.A.
I'll tell you what I watch on cable, because we don't have cable here at my house either, and we don't get broadcast TV either because it's building.
I think I get a really fuzzy Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cute. I get a real fuzzy Fox and CBS sometimes, but never when Letterman comes on.
My mom basically through my entire life had never watched television, like literally never, and not because she was like against it on principle or anything. It was just not a thing that she did. Mm-hmm. And you know, like occasionally she would watch something, you know, on PBS, like just once in a while. And then when I graduated from high school, went to college, moved out, you know, she at some point, I don't know, maybe when I was like about 21, she got like DirecTV. Like she went from never having cable in her entire life, you know, adjust the bunny ears so you can watch Wild America, to having like 250 channels or some shit that she barely even knows how to operate the remote control. But when I go and visit my mom's house, I just, all I watch is rap videos. Like I will just sit there and watch rap videos for like hours. I forget that like that's what I did in college. I really like watching rap videos. Like I don't think, like a lot of times, like if you turn on your BET, that's the only channel that shows rap videos for the most part, and you watch the rap videos, like a solid 2/3 of the songs are shitty songs. You know what I mean? So I don't think it would work if I was trying to watch the rap videos every day, because I'd be like, this fucking shitty song again. I don't want to watch this. But I'll watch even a shitty rap video once, because like, hey, here's this song. I wonder if I like this song. What's going on in this video? Oh, look at that lady. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
look at that car. Look at that car they're driving around, you know? Like, yeah, whatever's going on in there. Do you like to watch rap videos, Jasper? I had you pegged for an indie rock guy for some reason.
Nah, you way off.
I had you pegged as a guy that was you know, watching the Tegan and Sarah videos.
See, I don't even know who that is.
Okay.
So, I am not an independent rock person. The rap videos, I do know.
You've been known to wear an independent rock-oriented sport coat, though.
Yes, that was actually just more of a bargain thing.
At the time you were, as I recall, working at a Pasta Pomodoro.
Yeah, man. That was the pasta days.
Some people have their salad days. But you do like, so you like rap music. What kind of rap music do you used to try and rap?
Yeah, man.
When did you give up rapping?
When I figured out I was no good at it.
Was there a particular instance or time you can think of to where you're like, I guess I'm shitty at this? Like when did the shift happen?
It's just when you realize, it was like when you try to fix your car, you open the hood, you try to figure things out. You're like, I don't understand. Yeah, you know, that's how it was.
There's professionals.
Yeah.
they can handle this. I know pasta.
You're that's like, right. You want to talk some portobello, you know, some gemelli, some
sauce,
puttanesca
sauce. You're on it.
Sauce enters into it.
Some Alfredo,
red sauce,
mm-hmm.
Sure. Marinara,
spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. I'll let your boy.
Italy,
meatball. What do you think? If you had cable, Jordan? Mm-hmm. Would you be the kind of dude that's like that? Because when I have cable, one of the reasons that I don't have cable is that when I do have it, or like when I'm visiting my mother in San Francisco, I will just sit and watch the television for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Not doing anything, like not watching anything, just kind of switching back and forth between rap videos and like the building of the Hoover Dam on the Discovery Channel or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have the same thing. My mom has kind of a nice cable package, and when I go to visit her in Orange County, television is definitely there, and I get excited to watch it. You know, I'm like, oh, I'll watch a little TV while I'm at mom's house. Everything seems like entertainment news to me. Isn't that all that's on TV these days?
God,
I feel like everything
yeah.
is like celebrity gossip. I don't know. Maybe my mom has a package or something
like
that.
She's got the celebrity gossip. Well, what she should have gotten was the Gossip in the Heights package.
Yeah.
It's a good one. There's a lot more rawhide whipping in that one.
Yeah, where we find out about scandalous petticoats.
Yeah.
That certain governors' wives may or may not be wearing. I just kind of hated that.
Something fishy is going on at the Admiral's residence.
I feel like such an asshole. I feel like I'm one of those I don't watch TV guys now, which I have always hated through my life. Just those people like, oh, I don't watch TV. Yeah, I read. It's called reading. That's what I do. God, I totally hate those people. But I feel like I've become
like,
one.
Let's be clear here. Let's be absolutely black and white clear. You do not watch television, but that does not mean that you read. You're not a reader.
No, I don't read. No, God, no.
You need more time to play video games.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, I definitely hope I'm not coming off like I have some sort of high horse about television, because I like it. I would like to work in it, but I don't know. I just watching it never seems to work out for me.
Well, most television's really shitty. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But the good news is, in my opinion, we're living in a golden age of television.
Okay.
Because think of all the good television shows that we could watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Like let's say when I was like 10 years old or something like that. Cheers was funny.
Sure.
You know, and kind of a, you know, I mean, Cheers is just Cheers, you know. It's like just like a really a well-executed formula. But, you know, it's funny, you know. The actors are very funny, you know, like so on and so forth. But like 1991 or whatever, 1992, I don't know, maybe Northern Exposure was on then. That's kind of good. You know, it's not really good, but it's kind of good. I guess Twin Peaks was on for a year and a half at some point. You know what I mean? Like the shit was, it was a wasteland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and now, like, I'll go watch Battlestar Galactica. It's a good show. You can watch The Wire. It's an amazing show. You know, there's a lot of good things on television.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I have a hard time watching one thing for an hour.
Okay.
That's maybe why I don't get into the more. Well, I mean, I'm not good at stealing things on the internet.
You know what the problem is with kids today? They just do not have the attention spans for television.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's these video games are taking
it's the web clips.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the beauty of, like, you have TiVo or something, man, cuz that way you can just keep track of the shows that you like. And that becomes your TV watching. You know, you just...
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe I just need to, like, go balls to the wall and get Super Cable, get TiVo, and see if I can get back into a, you know, little regimen of television watching.
Can we talk about the deeper issue here, though,
sure.
Jordan? Which is that for some reason, living here in Los Angeles, working in the entertainment industry... It has somehow become, and I'm not disputing that it is, I'm just thinking it's just kind of awful, that in order to keep up with your profession, you need to do more dumb stuff.
Yeah. No, that's, that seems to be, I don't know.
I'll tell you this, and I know, you know, I mean, obviously I've done my fair share of complaining about Los Angeles on this program, you
sure.
know what I mean, but... Like, I really feel like Los Angeles is a place where trying to be smart or do good something good is, like, somehow, like, actually frowned upon. Like, that's kind of like, are you sure you want to be doing that?
That's true, man. It's better to be stupid.
wait a minute. Let's clarify your perspective here, Jasper.
I don't know. Hold on. I want to maybe. Oh, go. Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Clarify. I want to more robust argument of this later.
Okay. I want to see the point that Jasper's trying to make here, because it sounded like what you were arguing was that it was fundamentally. Better, not just in Los Angeles, but overall in the world.
If you want a career,
to be stupid,
it is better to be stupid.
Oh, okay. If you want a career, that was the thing that was the part that we were missing. It's weird. Like it feels like I don't even really. I mean, obviously, you know, like I work in public radio. You know what I mean? Like I'm in this business where there is a premium placed on not being stupid. You know what I mean? But, like, I just feel like when I, like, talk to people here, like, it's just, like, that dumbness is, like, it's either actively being dumb, or it's the best you could hope for is making fun of being dumb.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, here's been my experience with this, and I think it's a little more complicated than
okay.
that. I think
spill 'em.
Sure. Okay. I feel like I've worked in some real Hollywood-y environments since I've been here. I've worked in some, you know, on all the lots, and I've worked for some really, really dumb things. I've worked for some of the dumbest. Of dumb situations and
living with Fran.
I'm dumber.
Yeah, that's true. You have worked on dumber
things than that. That's maybe mid dumb.
Yeah.
And all the people...
You know, frankly, there's Jamie Kennedy's got some things going for him when it comes to creating sitcoms for Fran Drescher.
Sure. He's the second best at it.
Yeah.
The first best being the person who invented the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll maybe say that, you know, 10% of the people in these environments are those, you know, just catchphrase spewing, you know, trucker hat wearing, you know, guys that you would, you know, think are the stereotypical LA guys. But I don't know. I honestly don't think that everyone is as dumb as that. I mean, I think that when you go out and you hear the, you know, when you feel like all people are talking about is Rock of Love or, you know, Britney's Meltdown or something like that, I feel like the times that I've tried to have a more intelligent discussion with people, it's been successful, but people just, like, that's the common ground, you know, like people, it's safe.
But that's my point.
And I don't know if that's LA, that I think that might be everywhere. That it's just like when you're having a conversation with people who you're not close to, the common ground is Britney's Meltdown or Rock of Love. I don't think it's necessarily LA. I feel like the times that I've tried to have a political discussion with somebody or about something, you know, about something deeper than that, it's been successful, but, you know, and it is so much about appearances and relationships that you feel like you have to just go with the, you know, like, all right, I have to have a conversation with this person. You know, so much of it is appearance. Let's just go to Flavor of Love, because we can all agree that, you know, that's dopey and it, you know, it's trashy, but I love it. You know, you kind of know that that conversation is going to go well, but I don't think
Except
it's necessarily.
Except here's the thing, Jordan, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it.
No, sure.
But I don't agree with that. That's the thing. Like, I'm completely on the outside of this.
Oh, no,
like,
I'm not saying that I agree that Rock of Love is worth watching. But I'm just saying that two people unrelated, you know, two people who don't know that much about each other who are in a work environment or a casual drinks environment, like, what's the safest thing to bring up, you know?
I mean, maybe it's because I've like worked mostly in nonprofits when I've had real life jobs.
Yeah, and yeah. I think maybe
I lived in San Francisco and stuff, but like I just feel like in the context that I'm used to, that would be something that people would even among those people who liked it. Unless they were specifically dumb people hanging out in a group of other dumb people. In which case, all bets are off. But, like, if it was a mixed company, people wouldn't go there. They would go in the other direction. They would think of the fanciest shit, the cleverest, sharpest shit they could think of, and try and talk about that, because it would be embarrassing to talk about something that dumb.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the context that I feel like. And I don't know, you know, I mean, obviously, it's not like I'm, like, out on the town all the time here in Los Angeles, but, like, I can say that, you know, every time Teresa comes home from her law school,
yeah,
that is all she ever, like, that is her social impression of every single person that she talks to. That same specific thing. Like, she'll say, I cannot believe these people. What the fuck is going on? And, like, Teresa is in law school. Like, these are people, a large group of people who've come together to gain an advanced degree. You see what I'm saying? Like, and that is what's going on there, too. And she was in college not that long ago, and it was not what was going on.
Yeah.
In her college.
Well, I mean, college, when you're in college, I feel like there's so much more shared things to talk about. I don't know. I feel like it's maybe more a...
Well, she's in law school now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now that she's in law school, like, these are... It's still an educational environment with people who are, you know, success-oriented enough to like have a plan for their lives and be implementing it or whatever, no matter what you may think of the plan they have for their lives, which is often in this particular law school, like, let's see if I can make $300,000 a year my first year out of law school or something, you know. But like, these are people who are oriented towards success. Maybe I'm just sounding like an asshole, but like, it's not that, it doesn't bother me that like some people are dumb in the world. Like, that's fine, sure. You know. It's just like, it's more about aspirations. Like, it's more about like what you value and think is significant. Like, it doesn't really matter how, like, it's the part that bothers me isn't that there are less smart people here in Los Angeles. I think there are lots and lots of smart people here in Los Angeles, especially in the entertainment industry, because if you want to be successful in the entertainment industry, you come to Los Angeles to work. And, you know, so there's, as many people often point out to me, and I totally agree, it's full of brilliant, creative people, this city. But like, the culture drives things down instead of driving things up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem like me just being a dick? Maybe I'm just being a dick.
Mm-mm. Nah, there is a blatant dumbing down, I feel.
And it's just like all these dudes in like Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, like the other day when I went to, G4 TV, and like, I mean, you could tell when Kevin was here, like, I think he thought he was like a really great guy, like a really good guy. And everyone that I met there on the show was also like super nice and like clearly bright. And like, they work for the Nerd Channel, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, they have a lot invested in like knowing about stuff and caring about stuff, you know, like that's what being a nerd is all about. But like, it still kind of had at least 65% that tone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess that is something. I guess that is, you know. Yeah. I mean, I guess that even, you know, I guess I would consider myself a, you know, bright, culturally aware person. But, you know, I still organize, you know, segments in my work where girls in bikinis are washing a car. You know, I guess. Yeah. I mean, maybe that is. I wonder what that's. I don't know. Hard to say.
Jasper,
all right, everybody in LA is dumb. Here's my headshot. I concede.
Jasper, have you ever run into this like like actively in your career? Because you're out. I mean, I'm sure you're at this point in your career where you're like a successful comedian. You're still very young. You're like the kind of handsome guy that people would want to host their show on MTV or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so you must be dealing with but you're also like your actual comedy is like super, is like very smart and sharp. But I would imagine that your skill set would also lend you to doing dumb things. So I would imagine that like when people are recruiting you, it's often for some dumb shit.
Well, that's the thing about being a comedian, man. They think if you're a comedian that your comedy is for all purposes, you know, and it's not like that, man. You know, some people do a particular type of comedy. So sometimes, you know, I get called or offered auditions that really don't fit my brand of humor. And
can you give an example?
Nah, I can't, hear man. It. I can't.
Give me one example. Because
it'll maybe sound ungrateful to have, you know, these opportunities.
This segment is all about being ungrateful.
Nah, it's but
let's be clear. We really like the weather here in Los Angeles.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful weather.
72 and sunny every day.
Absolutely.
But you know, I mean, being a minority in Hollywood, you know you're going to get some dumb shit thrown at your way because, you know, Hollywood keeps minorities in a certain place and you can't really broaden your wings too much, or they say, nah, that's not what y'all do. This is what y'all do. So you do face that type of like, oh.
It feels like a kind of a double jeopardy situation,
yeah.
Because you're like, I mean, the other day I went to this Ben Carlin reading, and Larry Wilmore was there, and he's the senior black correspondent for The Daily Show these days. He also writes for The Office sometimes. And but Larry Wilmore, they introduced him, and his resume is like un-fucking-believable. Like, this guy... this guy created the Bernie Mac show, which I mean, I don't know if this sentiment is going to be universal in our audience, but I really liked the Bernie Mac show, and it was I thought it was like a perfect vehicle for Bernie Mac, who I think is a pretty brilliant comedian. He created the PJs, which I thought was a very funny show with Eddie Murphy. Like, he did all this different shit, and it occurred to me, like, holy shit, like, over the past, like, over the course of his career, like, how many television shows have there been that were mostly black people in the show, where it wasn't just some dumb black people doing a dumb thing that's like the that could have been done in like 1971?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that like Homeboys in Outer Space model. But like, the question is, the question then becomes, and it's like I said, it's the same question that you or I would face, but like times three, because there's only, you know, they only give black people one slot, you know what I mean, on network television.
Right.
Like, so, no, we already got a black people show.
I know. So that, yeah, that stuff is frustrating, man, especially when, you know, there's a lot of talented people out there who are not getting their shot because of, you know, just closed-minded views on minorities, you know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the feeling of, you know, maybe the feeling of dumbness when it comes to, you know, what kind of entertainment people are trying to make. Maybe it's just, I mean, maybe it's just this gross underestimation of what people would want to watch. I mean, maybe it's just a contempt for the rest of the world. Is that, do you think that enters into it at all?
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. You know, it's better to be ignorant, man. Like I say, it's better to be stupid.
I just wish you, this is what I would like to see. And this is something that actually the other day on the OK Player message board that both Jasper and I post on from time to time, there was this big argument because there was an article about, Tyler Perry's sitcom. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if you've seen the show. It is horrible. I mean, I don't mean to put too fine a point on it. This is a horrible show. And he apparently, and I just thought it was horrible.
To be fair, I also visited the another show, the Tyler Perry show's on TBS, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I watched 12 Items or Less, uh-huh. 10 Items or Less.
10 Items or Less, I think,
which was kind of...
Which is supposed to be the edgy, improvised
TBS
sitcom.
Yeah, it's improv, Arrested Development style, that kind of single. It was fucking terrible. It was so bad. It was so unfunny.
Okay,
and,
so but let me say this about Tyler Perry. So I kind of like admired Tyler Perry because he's really like it, I think it's admirable to like totally make your own path as he has. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's basically all of his success is like due to him. You know what I mean? Like I may or may not be interested in his cultural production. You know what I mean? But like, at least he's doing a thing for himself, which is like in Hollywood is a tough thing to do. But this article was about how he made 100 episodes of his show in a year.
Wow, it's like
he made 100 episodes of his show in a year.
They didn't film 100 episodes, did
they? They filmed 100 episodes. And one of the things they kind of mentioned in passing in this article is that Tyler Perry actually was having actors – he was handing actors a script and then having them shoot the scene.
Wow.
They were shooting it without – not only without rehearsal, without even a table read.
Jeez.
They were just – the first take on the lines – was the take that they were using for the television
and this
show.
This show is a success. It's a successful show.
Yeah, well, it's moderately successful. I mean, you know, like it isn't extraordinarily successful. It has achieved the level of success that you can achieve if you have the barest level of competency and you are a black person that is allowed to have a TV show, you know, which is like there are lots of black folks out there who are just like, I wish there were black people on television. They're like, well, if I get something okay, I'm just going to have to settle, you know what I mean? Like, but the question is like, what are you supposed to do when you're put into that situation? Like, because I was, this article upset me because I'm like, you know what? It's one thing to be like making stuff that I don't like, which is Tyler Perry's forte, but it's a whole other thing to be making shit that I don't like and obviously, like, not even trying. You know, like, if you're making 100 in a year, that means that you don't care whether you're making something that's good. And we should be clear, a sitcom normally makes about 20 in a year.
Yeah, 20 is a lot these days. I think it could make 10 or 12 is more the...
Exactly. More. And 100, the reason he would make 100 in a year is because 100 is considered to be the minimum number to be able to sell something into syndication. Mm-hmm. So the goal was to have kind of a stable that they can run of forever and ever that they all made in 1 year. But like if you're making 100 episodes of a TV show in a year, you're basically, in my opinion, just like flipping off the audience being like, fuck you, I don't care. Like and it becomes just like Tyler Perry saying, I look at this marketplace, I see that there is this hole in the marketplace for a sitcom that has these qualities. You know, it's a family sitcom, it stars black people, you know, faith is a part of it but not a huge part of it. Like he has this kind of like formula that he recognizes that there's this audience for, and instead of trying to fulfill it with artfulness, he's just tried to fill it with well, I know,
syndication-ness.
Exactly. And like I don't know
you know, there was an interview with the guy who runs Lionsgate Films on The Business, not, you know, last year sometime, and he's kind of a similar character. He's I guess he's a big super Republican donor, but Lionsgate, in addition to making the, you know, Tyler Perry movies and the Larry the Cable Guy movies, also makes, you know, Saw and a lot of kind of similar, you know, kind of gory, nudity filled.
Lionsgate has long been known as the place to go for exploitation movies that make money.
Right. Yeah. And that's
of whatever kind.
He kind of basically said a philosophy, you know, he basically said that without saying it in such a horrible way. He's like, I know that, you know, he's like, well, there are markets that just want a certain thing and I can give it to them really cheaply. And, anyways. Oh.
It's like a drug dealer talk.
Yeah, right.
That's totally what it feels like. And I don't know. I mean, I, as usual, like I feel lucky not to have to make the choice, because obviously, like if I'm going on television, I'm not in a position where it's like, you know, the UPN's not even on TV anymore. So there's only like three TV shows with black people on them. So I don't have to feel like if I have the black people show, like I'm the only black people show and thus like some kind of representation of black people on television. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, like luckily I'm as an affluent white person, there's plenty of people like me on TV. So I can be like whatever kind of weird affluent white person I want to be. But then it's like this question, well, is it just good because it's like people are working? Because people do need to work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people always make an argument about, you know, well, at least he got a job, man. He can't knock it. But it's like, it's not a practical way to go about it. You know, it's about quality. It comes down to quality, man.
For me, like, what it's about is just like, it's not even like, it comes down to quality, but like, for me, it's not even about just... It's not even about just like whether it's successful. I mean, like take a show like Lucky Louie, for example. Lucky Louie is a show that, you know, was created by comedian Louis C.K., who I don't know if you guys would agree, but I think he's about as good a comedian as exists.
Oh, man.
He's a genius of comedy. And a great idea and really well thought out. And I like the show, but it wasn't a success. And when I say it wasn't a success, it was not a success with audiences, and I would say it just didn't quite work for artistically.
Yeah, I really wanted to like it too, and I tried to watch a few, and it was, you know, there were some funny bits, but it was a little awkward.
I mean, I watched them all and I liked them, actually. You know, like overall they were worth, I didn't feel like I was wasting my time watching them, but it was clearly not, it just didn't work. But that having been said, so, like, it wasn't necessarily the quality that you would love for it to be, but, like, what you could tell from the show was Louis C.K. really had a vision for a show, and he was really trying to make a great show. And, like, making a TV show or a movie or whatever is just, like, really hard, and it's kind of a crapshoot, and it's just, like, there's, you know, nobody can do it, like, really consistently. you know, David E. Kelly can't even make, you know, consistent Boston Legally type shows. You know what I mean?
He couldn't even make Cop Rock successful.
Exactly.
And that's the world's most foolproof premise, singing, dancing policemen.
So, you know, I mean, but what I feel like is missing is like, I feel like I meet people sometimes and it doesn't even seem like they're trying to make something good. Like they've just given up on making something good. Like it's easy. Like I can totally understand failing at making something good because it's really hard to make something good. You know what I mean? And I can also totally understand having different definitions of what is good. You know what I mean? Like I can see that some people really love Law and Order, which I don't really love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like that's fine. You know, like Law and Order is a great Law and Order. Hmm. You know what I mean? But like. I just feel like there's this kind of consistent drumbeat of like, well, fuck it.
Yeah, you know, I can kind of speak to this. I mean, this is a real, you know, low on the totem pole, low stakes example of this, but I think it is kind of to the larger. Yeah, I mean, so I had two movie writing situations where someone agreed to look at a movie I had written. And the first one was, you know, absolutely something I was, something I was kind of personally jazzed about. I felt like it was my, it was something I wrote with big time Gene O'Neill.
Right.
Something I really thought was our, you know,
it was
our,
really funny.
Our voice and,
distinctive.
Sure. Sure. And,
talking dog.
Sure. Talking dog. There was a talking dog in it. And yeah. And I mean, and not, you know, and while, you know, it was definitely more along the line, something I would want to work on
right.
in the future and kind of the, and someone looked at that and, you know, said it was too weird. And then, you know, we took kind of a second go at it, and the second go was a lot more, you know, a lot more standard, something that, you know, something that Rob Schneider could pretty easily be in, you know, real simple, kind of those, you know, one of those PG-13 comedies that get released.
Dumb people acting dumb.
Sure. And that one was taken infinitely more seriously, and yeah, that was but I don't think it was because that the people looking at it liked it more, which I don't think was the case. I think the people looking at it, you know, actually seemed to have more personal enthusiasm for the good one, but the feeling was that America is really, really dumb was kind of the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but maybe that is part of the. Maybe the dumbness of LA doesn't come from the actual dumbness of the people. I don't know. Yeah, just maybe from a cynical, you know, a cynical hatred of the rest of the world. I don't know. Or anyway.
Well, I mean, I certainly have a cynical hatred of the rest of the world.
Well, let's be clear.
Don't sell me
let's
short,
be clear.
Jordan.
We're all iconoclasts in this room.
Well, this is a discussion to be.
But it's true, man. I mean, it is the people. If you put shit on a plate, people come by and eat it. Are you gonna make the shit maker or the shit eater?
Yeah,
that was a powerful metaphor, Chad.
Yeah.
25 years from now in media studies classes, people are going to be like, it all goes back to Jasper Red's classic shit on a plate metaphor.
It's what we call the red bone theory. You can shit on a plate, or you can eat shit off of a plate.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Yep.
Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I am Jasper T. Redbone.
Wrapping things up on this week's program, no new action items, but we have these really good action items going on. The biggest news, I would say, in Jordan Jesse Go world right now is the bracket for the historical battle is up.
Mm.
King Grebo on the Maximum Fun forums, I don't think I'll ever be able to say that out loud without laughing quietly. King Grebo on the Maximum Fun forums put together the bracket. We're going to start the bracket. We're going to start the voting very soon. We're going to do the first couple of rounds. It's a bracket of 64, so we're going to do the first couple of rounds really aggressively, where we're going to have battle historical eras battling against each other. You know, maybe eight at a time, something like that, in the early going. And we won't go to one at a time until we get to maybe the quarterfinals, something like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool. He's broken it up regionally, so we're gonna find out which wins in the era of good feelings versus the Mayan classical era. It's gonna be a lot of excitement. We're having a battle to find out what the best historical era was, Jasper. Okay. Just so you know, just to bring you in on this.
All right.
And of course, we're still open to your creative reinterpretation of Jordan Jesse Go ideas and ideas for what to do with the $20. We're going to try it. We should bring back Clifford and Kid and do a candy thing one way or the other.
That's probably, yeah.
I mean, everybody who said, if you're going to do a candy thing, bring back Clifford and Kid. And we love Clifford and Kid. So,
sure.
And they were great on the show. They were happy to do it. So we'll bring him back. 206-984-4FUN, the number to call if you have something you'd like to talk to us about or just about whatever. Jasper, you've got some stand-up gigs coming up. You got March 7th at the West Side Eclectic here in L.A. You're doing a set. Are you got anything on the road coming up?
On the road, I will be opening up for Daniel Tosh, part of the Tosh Tour 2008. I will be with him in Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas.
The creatively named Tosh Tour 2008.
Yeah.
Daniel Tosh, another really great, funny comedian. You really don't want to miss the chance to see Jasper. So I imagine you're playing to pretty big audiences there.
Yeah, man. It's been nice to play those audiences that he draws, man. It's very cool, man. So I'm very grateful that he brought me along.
What's your MySpace/ Jasper Red?
That's right.
And Jasper Red, Jasper spelled as you would expect, Red spelled with two D's.
Two D's, ladies and gentlemen. Throw some two D's.
On that.
Yeah. On that
so-and-so. sure, 206-984-4FUN. If you want to email us, the email address, jjgo@maximumfun.org. And we've got this cool discussion of the game and all kinds of cool discussions going on the forums right now. And we'll see you there, and we'll see you next week. Next week's show might come at a weird time because Jordan's going to be out of town on the weekend, so we'll have to figure out when we can do next week's show. But it's coming.
It'll happen.
We're making shit
happen.
This
isn't going to be the last show.
Yeah, this is the end of Jordan Jesse Go.
No, wait, I might die.
I'm probably going to die
any day now.
That's the spirit.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm already dead.
Yeah, maybe.
You ever thought about that? You ever look up at the stars and think just how small we all are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's deep.
We'll see you next
week.
Maybe
we're just on some giant's finger.
We'll see you next week on Jordan Jesse Go, huh? So a little something to chew on.
Yeah.
A little brain candy. We'll see you next week on Jordan Jesse Go.